The question today is, what sin can a person commit against the Holy Spirit? Now, we've dealt with, this is part number five, I believe it is, part number five. And we've talked about the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which is committed by a lost person. It's the what we refer to as the unpardonable sin. It cannot be any forgiveness in this life or in the next. You can blaspheme God, you can blaspheme Jesus, but you must not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That means to give credit to the devil for something the Holy Spirit produces in His presence with your heart. If you've done that, you've crossed God's deadline and it'll be over with as far as what you're concerned. The lost only can commit that because the saved can't, well, God will never allow him to do that. Another sin is resisting the Holy Ghost, as Stephen told them in Acts 7:51. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. And in other words, they oppose, they refuse to submit to the Holy Spirit's work in their life. And they gnashed their teeth and ran upon Stephen and stoned them. And many people wanted to put out the light, want to destroy the man who's proclaiming the truth because they're resisting the Holy Spirit. But yet every one of us has resisted his leading. For instance, he says he begins to deal with you and you begin to realize or doubt your salvation, his expression is. There's a nagging doubt inside. And then some little voice speaks up and said, oh, that's just the devil making you doubt. No, no, no. That's not the devil making you doubt. That's the Holy Ghost of God that's trying in His long-suffering and forbearance and goodness to bring you to the end of yourself that you might be saved. And yet, and so you, when you do that, give credit to the devil there, you're not blaspheming the Holy Ghost, but you're resisting the Holy Ghost, and that's a dangerous thing to do. Because you resist long enough, after a while, his voice will get quieter and quieter, and you'll not hear it anymore, and it'll be too late. One day you'll be wake up in the lake of fire. Now, we also talked about grieving the Holy Spirit, or grieve not the Holy Spirit, hurting deeply the Holy Spirit. Saints of God can commit that sin, and he told the saints at Ephesus to stop grieving. They were. Now, it's not a lifestyle of grieving, but it's intermittent sin. It's a point action, if you please. And then also we dealt with another sin, quench not the Spirit. In other words, don't extinguish or overcome or put out the fire of the Holy Ghost of God. And when we allow something to take place in our lives that's not right and our worship's not like it ought to be, we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. And the result of that, of course, is that the Lord will be on the outside of the church wanting to gain entrance. The candlestick will be removed in the sense that the church will have no effectiveness in its community, and souls will not be saved. All there will be is just professions and tares be made in that sense. So may we not quench the Spirit with our following of tradition and our preconceived ideas, but just let the Lord lead. Now, there's two more sins that I want to mention, and they really go together, sins against the Holy Spirit. And these are committed here as Peter and, well, Peter and Paul both wrote about these, and they talked about, spoke about these, and said the saints are the ones that he's really dealing with. Now, in Acts chapter 5, verse number 9, Peter said unto her, and this was Ananias and Sapphira, and of course he's talking to Sapphira here. He said, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of him which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. In other words, Ananias had come in and lied about the fact that he'd sold the land for a certain price. So they had connived together. And as a result, it was theirs. Now, they didn't have to give it all. They could have gave the 10% and been in right with God. But yet they were trying to get some popularity, and they were saved people. I really believe they were saved people at that point in time. And yet, whenever Ananias did it, he lied to God. Said he lied. Peter said he lied to the Spirit of God. You've lied to God. In other words, and here come Ananias or Sapphira 3 hours later and did the same thing. And he said, you've agreed together. Why have you done that? To tempt the Spirit. Now, the word tempt means to try, to test. In Acts 5:9, it means putting the Holy Spirit to a test. And so Ananias and Sapphira tested and tried the Holy Spirit to see what he would do. Now, that wasn't their intention, but that's what they did. Now, I want to mention the sixth sin here, and I want to deal with the fifth and sixth, tempt the Spirit. And number six is do despite unto the Spirit of grace. It's found in Hebrews 10:29. And he said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, the word despite means to treat contemptuously, which is the condition of being despised or scorned, the feeling or actions of a person towards someone or something he considers low, worthless, or beneath notice. Also, it means to treat insultingly or to treat with disrespect. And so I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but he's saying this as he's writing to the Hebrew saints, and he's saying, talks about this, how much more punishment suppose ye if you've done despite to the Spirit of grace. So I want to deal with the fifth sin, tempt the Spirit, and the sixth sin, do despite unto the Spirit of grace. I want to deal with them together. Now, when one tries or tests or tempts the Holy Spirit, he's insulting him or treating him with great disrespect, and that's despite, because he is God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit's God, a part of the Trinity. So when the saved commit these sins, there's a sense in which the Holy Spirit is grieved. He's hurt deeply, as we've already dealt back. And in other words, but these sins go further than just grieving or hurting deeply the Holy Spirit. Tempting and do despite to the Spirit of grace, these sins are willful and also premeditated at times, which means they're not sins of ignorance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26, and by the way, this is right after he made the statement in verse 25 of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's talking about attending the house of God on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the church has the keys, and the order either a Wednesday night or whatever in the night they so choose or do, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day for the Lord to come back. And then he says in verse 26 of Hebrews 10, for if we, meaning the saints of God, sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, what does this mean, done despite to the Spirit of grace? Well, it's sinning willfully. What does this mean? Now, how do you commit these sins, or how do you insult the Holy Spirit? Well, you insult the Holy Spirit in His call. When He calls and you say no, that's disobedience. When He leads and you won't follow, that's disobedience. When He directs and you won't obey. When He convicts of a sin, this is after salvation now I'm talking about, and you say, I don't have any sin, and you close your mind to that, then you have done despite. You have insulted the Holy Spirit. For instance, you're saying He doesn't know. In other words, he's not really looking. He doesn't really understand. Well, I pray the Lord will give me wisdom to say yes when He calls, to go when He directs, obey when He directs, confess when He convicts. But we also not only commit these sins in His call, but in His character. You see, the Holy Spirit is God and possesses the same attributes as God. One of these attributes is omniscience, which means He has all knowledge. He knows the secret of the soul, of your soul. He knows every word you ever spoke, every work you ever performed, every walk you ever took, every thought you ever had. And we insult His character when we get a proud and a haughty spirit and put ourselves above the Holy Spirit, thinking we know better than Him. For instance, a person says, I know what the Bible said, but I think, and you say, and then you quote something else. Well, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and it says what it means and means what it says. The Bible said in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Means that their hands were guided by the Holy Ghost to where they got the tenses of the verbs exactly right. So the Word says what it means, and it means what He says. And when you come along and say, I know what the Bible said, but, well, you're in trouble. I mean, you if you're saved, you're headed for trouble, because it's willful sin. You're not ignorant in that. You in His character, in other words, when you insult the Holy Spirit in His call or in His character or in His chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5 through 8 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So therefore, God deals with his sons. He's in chastisement. And when you, in other words, you insult him in his chastisement, when you you don't listen to what he says, you don't heed what he says. In other words, God deals with his sons in four ways. He speaks to the son through preaching. The Holy Spirit takes the sword of the Spirit and gets to the heart. He gets to the problem. Now, I know he does that in seekers or sinners as well. But Hebrews 4:12 said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And now, if a son doesn't confess and forsake after he's been spoken to by the preaching of the word, then God deals with him by laying a lash upon him. And the son knows what it's for. If the son does not confess and forsake at that point, then he becomes a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Castaway means to be disqualified for rewards and will have nothing to cast back at the feet of Jesus. And that's what happens to a person whenever they fail to confess and forsake their sin. And if he doesn't forsake it at this point, then God carries him home. He deals with him by carrying him home prematurely. That's what we call a sin unto death for a saved person. It could be any sin. One's not willing to confess and forsake. And the Holy Spirit said, if you commit that sin one more time, I'm carrying you home. And that means to heaven early, prematurely, because you're a false advertisement to the Father and you're embarrassing him. 1 John 5:16 says, if a man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. In other words, God said there's a sin unto death for a saved person, and it's any sin that God said that's enough one more time, and you're headed home prematurely. And I believe that sin was committed by Moses in the Old Testament when he struck the rock the second time, when God told him clearly to speak to the rock the second time, and he didn't want his type broken. I believe it was committed by Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 that we've already dealt with, how they lied to the Holy Ghost. Now, this really is a warning which calls for an examination in your heart. If you can tempt the Holy Spirit and insult him or do despite to him and keep on doing it, the Lord doesn't kill you prematurely and carry you to heaven so as by fire, then you're not saved. You see, you need to get honest and examine yourself. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. It'll be a sad day for those who fail to do so and remain in their deceived condition and hear the Lord say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.